Hello. Are we ready?
Okay.
Welcome to the 13th episode of the Functional Nerds. Lucky episode number 13. We're the guys and the gals, when we can get one to come on the show, who like to sit around and talk about technology, Apple computers, which reminds me, did anybody see the iPhone 4 thing this week on WWDC? Science fiction and fantasy stuff, which usually means with me and John Stargate Universe, and music. And then we would like to record that talk and share it with you, our faithful listeners. We enjoy and appreciate both of you. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, a podcaster, a cat owner, and a guy with a really cool hat. And my partner in this is John Anilio.
Hello. Hi, I'm John Anilio. I have scifisongs.blogspot.com. I write songs about science fiction and fantasy and other nerdy kinds of things. This week, we've been having our third nerds, totally our guests. And this week, we have a very special guest, an author. And she is also, I would call her a podcasting pioneer, actually. And that is Mer Lafferty. Mer, say hello.
Hi, guys. What's really interesting is I was listening to Patrick's intro and I realized he's basically introing me, except I have a dog. Podcaster, author, I have a funny hat. So essentially just take Patrick's intro, replace dog with cat, and you've got me.
Well, the
cat with dog, something.
You're a little bit more famous. You've been doing this a little bit longer.
Okay. I have been podcasting since 2004.
Yes.
And it has led to very weird things in my writing career that I never, ever, ever expected. You know, you have an idea of when you want to be a writer, how your career will go. And, you know, podcasting and having Cory Doctorow know your name before you ever publish anything because of that podcasting. And, you know, little things like that it was not on the list. And it was very weird. And having, you know, a whole bunch of people ignore your novel and then you put it out, which, you know, everyone's saying, oh, is it dangerous to do? Because maybe there's a reason you weren't published. And then having a publisher approach you and say, we would like to publish your novel. And when you didn't even do any work for that specific publisher, I did a lot of work beforehand. But anyway, yes, podcasting has done a very weird thing for my career and it's awesome. But it's just, sometimes I sit back and think that was weird.
But you've had your fangirl moments, essentially, where Doctorow knows your name. Oh, my God.
You know, yes.
There was just a couple of weeks ago, I put something out, and I think it was when Lou Anders was on, and Tor.com retweeted my tweet. And so, of course, I go to John, and I'm like, oh, my God, Tor.com, they retweeted me. I was very impressed.
And I was like, not a big deal. I got retweeted by Neil Gaiman. So there you go.
And hey, you got a write-up on Tor.com, didn't you, John?
I did. I had two, actually. One by Lou and one by our illustrious guest, Mer Lafferty. So thank you for that. So,
sure. Nobody else is blogging about awesome music on Tor.com. So I kind of took that up myself. I did that. You and Carla Ulbrich and, one other thing. I can't remember.
Oh yeah, you know, I read I really liked your review of Carla's album. I actually met her once. This is going back before I was doing what I'm doing now. There was another singer songwriter guitar player. His name is Joe Giacchino. Do you know who he is? Yeah, he.
That's her husband.
I wasn't sure if they were married. I didn't know if they were like dating at the time. This is going back a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's a great guitar player and he's a good songwriter too. I saw him at a show and then I was doing a songwriter's workshop kind of thing. And I asked him to come and do a little bit on, he does a lot of alternate guitar tunings as well. And so he did like a little workshop on alternate guitar tunings to this songwriter's workshop that I was running. And he's a real nice guy. And I met Carla that one night at one of the shows. They did like a double bill kind of a thing. And really cool people, really, really nice, put out a lot of really interesting and funny music and just very talented couple. So I was like, hey, she knows who Carla is. Like, that was like sort of my two worlds colliding a little bit. You know, it's always weird when you see that, you know, or it's like on Twitter when you're following like one group of people and then you're following a separate group of people.
We've had technical difficulties. We're starting over right here now.
Yes, do that, John.
Yes.
Yeah. Less work for Patrick.
Okay, we're having technical difficulties, so we are going to get into our... Did I say technical difficulties? I think I did that. I'm having speech difficulties. Okay. Okay, anyway, we were having technical difficulties, so we're going to sort of start over here, but we're going to get on our first topic, which is podcasting.
If I don't stop laughing my ass off first.
Yeah.
Sorry, oh, and there that. Went the tag.
What tag is that?
I said ass.
Oh.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We swear sometimes on this. It doesn't matter. But anyway, so we're going to get into podcasts. We were sort of going down that path anyway and talking about what podcasting meant to Murr. And Patrick, why don't you give your spiel on podcasting first, and then we'll start talking about it. I have a few things that I want to talk about in terms of podcasting as well, but let's start with your spiel.
You're just afraid that you're going to get tongue-tied on all this crap.
I am.
So, yes, we wanted to talk... with Murr here, we have a unique opportunity to talk to someone who has her fingers and toes in a lot of different pies. So, hey, it was a metaphor. It wasn't
Go run with it.
Yes,
run. Just don't slip because there's pie on your feet. Just keep going.
We love sci-fi and fantasy around here, as you can probably tell, given what we talk about each week. We also love podcasts. I think it's safe to say that John is a podcast junkie. You've said before that you listen to podcasts more than anything else on your iPod, correct?
Yeah, I do. It's about half and half between that and just all my normal music, but I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, and there's a lot of crossover that exists now between sci-fi, fantasy, and podcasting. And like I said, Murr, she's all over that. So, you know, we need to talk to her about that. Whether it's an author pushing out content on their own magazine or on their own, or a magazine like Clark's World, that's what I get for reading, pulling together short stories from today's best authors into not quite a reboot, more like a renaissance of the old-time radio serial format, which you can also get. There's old-time radio serials out there on podcasts now that have music, sound effects. I'm thinking of Leviathan for some reason. Leviathan,
yes.
Chronicles. That's a really well-done one. That kind of made me go, huh, that's kind of cool. But there's a ton of content out there waiting for you. And I know that in May, Murr, you took over editorial duties at Escape Pod.
Yes.
So I thought that you could give us a little bit of insight into that growing publication opportunity and what it takes to break into that format.
Well, I mean, the first thing you can do is release your own stuff. No one is stopping you. I mean, back in my day, back in the prairie times when all we had was a covered wagon and a $20 mic that you bought at Target on sale, you could, you know, read your own stuff into the microphone and put it out there. And now there's a lot of advice on how to set up your own rig for like $100 or so to get a really good sound quality, and then where to put it and how to market it. But you've got authors putting out stuff that is out of print, like Tracy Hickman did. You've got authors putting out stuff that they can't sell elsewhere because, right, I believe it was Mercedes Lackey who does, you know, she does fantasy. She wanted to write a superhero novel and she couldn't get anybody to take it because it's Mercedes Lackey. She writes fantasy. So she podcasted it. And, but then you've got people who've decided that publishing did not work for them, like Scott Sigler, J.C. Hutchins, or myself. You know, I did everything I could to try to get my book published, and I still believed in it. And so I put it out via podcast, and either it tanks or it does okay. Right. Basically, like any other book, it tanks or it does okay or it's a hit. And there are fewer hits than tanks, or rather than, you know, the others. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but still, there are.
You write about tanks?
Yes, many, many tanks. But yes.
And just in case you didn't know this, Murr, I'm the one that makes the
bad puns,
the bad puns, and the bad jokes that get the crickets on this show. So I'm just going to say, tanks for the memory.
Oh, no. If you listen to that Balticon podcast, you know that Mer does not allow puns on her.
I heard that. Yes, yes,
it's
I heard that.
It's not my show. It's not my show.
I don't care for the puns either, but you know, whatever. You got to live with it, you know.
My husband is a great fan of puns, and he's very, very kind to me, and he holds back most of them. Mm-hmm. But
I do it just to hear the silence from Manelio.
Yeah.
Is it the only way to shut him up?
No, I just imagine him sitting in his garage, staring at his little MacBook, shaking his head sadly, going, oh.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'd say pretty accurate. I'm curious to see what our relationship is going to be like, you know, 6 months down the line, Patrick, like how, you know, it's slowly gone from me just being, like, or if I'm going to be a little more vocal in my my criticism of your puns, or just enjoy them.
we're gonna be like Z and Ken Denmead. You know, Z's like, I've been with that bastard for 52 episodes and I can't take him anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to your tank.
Anyway, you could, you know, if you want to drive the tank through the podcasting and be a pioneer and put out your own stuff, you can. This metaphor is really weak, but I took what you gave me and I ran with it. Or there are many, magazines who are either podcast only, such as Escape Pod, which is science fiction, or Pseudopod, which is horror, or Podcastle, which is fantasy, or if you don't want an escape artist one, Clark's World now has a podcast. The new Lightspeed launched with a podcast. Yes. They're putting out 4 stories a month, and they're podcasting 2 of them. And
some of these actually pay for the story, don't they?
I think they all pay, the ones I mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Clark's World pays, I know.
Clark's World pays. Tor.com does no longer have a podcast, but they do post audio of their stories, so you can download it from their site. And Escape Pod, Pseudopod, and Podcastle all pay. Let's see. I am not – oh, Drabblecast pays. Mm-hmm. Drabblecast is an amazing show. It's really weird, and I like really weird. And I probably shouldn't say this. I won't give any details, but I read a story for Escape Pod, and my slush reader said this would go really well on Drabblecast. And I read it, and I laughed, and I felt really, really weird for laughing. And I think it's not that I want to reject it, but I really think it would be better suited for Drabblecast. So I want to send it to Norm directly and say, please play this story, because really, it's better fitting for your weird show. But Drabblecast does weird stuff. They do Flash. They do Drabbles, which is 100-word stories. And they do actual short stories. And they're a favorite of people like Jay Lake and Tim Pratt, who are some of the best short story writers today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you see the pros going for it, it really gives the show's credentials to attract new authors as well.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
But that's what's out there. I mean, if you go for the paying markets, you run the risk of rejection. And if you do your own stuff, then you run the risk of obscurity. So it's all a craps game.
What do you think the cycle should be for an author who has a piece like that? Should they try to take it out through the traditional stuff first, and then if they can't sell it, then try to go to a podcast?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't say these days podcasts should not be the sloppy seconds. I think that, you know, if it's a paying market, it's a paying market, whether it's audio or print. I think the last resort would be podcasting it yourself.
Right.
Because you're not doing that for any money. You're just doing it to get exposure and to get people interested in you. But I think Clark's World might be pro. I'm not sure. Don't.
I'm
don't
pretty
quote me on
sure
that.
It is. I actually met Neil Clark is actually in New Jersey as well. Mm-hmm. And I met him at PhilCon. And we spoke for a while, and if I recall, I'm almost certain that they pay, and they put out a pretty high quality product. If you look at all those, like the covers and stuff that they, I mean, it's a pretty pro run operation, and they get like I don't know, like Tobias Buchel has had stories on it, so I don't think Tobias Buchel is donating stories at this point. I'm pretty sure you got to pay him to get one of his right. stories on your podcast. So I mean, that's what, like they get some pretty big names, Clark's World. So I would be pretty surprised if they don't pay.
Yeah. And the thing about Escape Artists, which is Escape Pod, Pseudopod, and Podcastle, is that we take reprints. So we can get, which is why we can get some of the big names, because essentially we're, I guess what the short story people would call gravy. It's like they can make a prose sale and then they can keep selling it to reprint markets. So maybe we don't pay as much as the pro markets, but we'll pay enough to where they're like, oh boy, this story made another $100. Yay.
Well, and it's exposure, and it's exposure in a market where they might not have otherwise thought that that even existed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, especially some of the older authors who don't necessarily know anything about new media.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folks that are just kind of dipping their toes into Twitter and Facebook and that kind of stuff. They don't even know that podcasts exist. And yeah, so sure. It's an opportunity for them to, you know, jump into this new media, this new market, get a little bit of exposure with younger people who might not even be reading that much right now.
Yeah. You
know, I just saw something that said that younger people aren't even reading blogs anymore.
What are they reading?
Text messages.
Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, you know, that kind of stuff. And they get their news from Comedy Central.
Yeah, you know, I saw this one documentary. It's on Netflix on the streaming.
Okay, I have a question for you, John.
Yeah.
Before you.
Yeah.
Is there a documentary on Netflix you haven't watched yet?
It sounds like I just sit around and watch documentaries all the time, but I guess I ended up watching a lot of them. What it is with the documentary? I very rarely have time to sort of sit down and allot like an hour to watching something. And I find that documentaries are, all right, well, I have, you know, 20 minutes here, like while I'm doing this, like I'll watch 20 minutes of this. And then you can come back. What's nice about the Netflix thing is it remembers where you left off.
Sure.
So you can come back in. So I think I end up watching a lot of that stuff because it's like you don't need to be fully invested in it. You could just watch it for like 20 minutes. So I've watched a lot of documentaries because of that. But anyway, I think it's called like, Grown Up Digital or Digital Age.
Yes,
something
yes,
like that.
Yes.
Something like that. And they did this study on, I think, people that are sort of 25 and under. They sort of pride themselves on this multitasking. They're like, I can like read a blog and I can send a text message and do my homework. And
drive my car.
Yeah. And what this study is, they did some studies like on them, and they're like, no, you can't. Actually, like you're doing it all really poorly when you do that. Like you really need to sit and concentrate on this stuff, because they actually did some fairly extensive testing on them and how, like, you know, and they had all these like, interviews with college professors who were like, yeah, I can't even assign a book that's like longer than 200 pages anymore because I know they can't read it. You know, so this is a little crazy. But anyway, that's off topic. Let's get
back to
it.
Don't they want to challenge their students? I'm not a teacher. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. I don't think it's that. I mean, these were like professors in like major universities too. This was not, you know, some little rinky-dink college. I mean, this was like Stanford or something. And they were just like, yeah, I just know that I'm not going to get good work back from them. I have to change the way that I teach because their attention span is so diverted. It's not even so much a short attention span. It's just that there's so much they're being bombarded with so many different things. I mean, we're different because we're all, you know, not under 25. So it's like we grew up in a world without the internet. So
We're old.
I don't like to. I bring up my age a lot for some reason. I don't know why. I don't think a podcast has gone by without me like stating my age. But
What is it?
I'm 36.
Oh well, so am I.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's not old.
That's
as old as me. That's not old.
I don't think I'm old. I
slightly have a couple of years on you. Or like a year, year and a half, something like that. But I remember the little baby girl that I took with me to Blockbuster, who was just tiny, and she was holding my hand. She's my little cousin. She looks up at me. She says, "You're so sweet. Why aren't you married?" That little girl.
What? Isn't that what grandmothers say?
That little girl who embarrassed me in Blockbuster just went to senior prom.
Wow.
Made me feel old.
Yeah, that's you're old. you're older than me. Anyway, doesn't matter. But anyway, the point is that they people who are younger have grown up with the internet and with mobile phones and the whole deal, and they're just used to sort of this instant gratification of them thinking of something and then being able to find the answer to it or satiate whatever need they have.
How old is your kid again?
My son's 4.
Right, right. I don't know if you've experienced this yet, but one of the two weirdest things I've experienced with how my daughter's growing up, with how differently it was for me, was one, will you please rewind this? I can't rewind radio. I can't rewind live TV. And she does not understand. I'm like, no, TiVo records. We're watching a recording. This is live. It's being put out now. We can't go into the future. We can't go, you know, we can't go into the past. We have to watch it right now. No, did not register for years.
Wow. Yeah.
Second thing, she gets 1 hour of media time a day, whether she wants to play her DS or watch TV is her choice. When my husband and I think of TV, we think 2 30-minute episodes. When she thinks of TV, it is 22 minutes. So to us, 2 episodes fit into an hour. And to her, 3 episodes fit into an hour. And we had this little argument where, you know, she's like, no, 2 episodes is 40, you know, 44 minutes. I get another one. And we're like, whoa, you're right.
Yeah, but do you cut it off at the last like 5 minutes?
No, we're not like, that.
That's your 60 minutes.
No, she could have 3 episodes. It's just, it took us a real mental switch to realize that.
Yeah, no, it's well, that's what I love about like the Netflix or even watching something on DVD is that, you know, 22 minutes is like not a lot of time. So if like, I don't know, if you're by yourself, you're like home on a weekend eating lunch, you're like, yeah, 22 minutes, that'll be perfect. I'll just sit and watch 22 minutes or 22 minutes of a documentary perhaps and then watch the rest of it later. Cause I'm a very intellectual man, Patrick. I don't know if you've noticed this. I sit around watching documentaries. And
yes. I
hear that about you.
I imagine you in your house sitting in your smoking jacket in the comfy chair watching Masterpiece Theater on PBS.
Yeah, I'm more a fan of Monsterpiece Theater on Sesame Street. I've watched more of that in recent years than anything else, but anyway.
Do you have a smoking jacket?
I do not, no.
Well, I think now you have a goal.
Yeah, I need to get one, yeah.
Weren't we talking about podcasting?
I don't know anymore.
But, you know, one of the things we can get back into the fiction part of podcasting. But one of the things that I wanted to kind of mention to you guys or ask you guys about is what was your first podcast that you listened to? I mean, this is a multi-part question or a multi-part thought, because the concept of podcasting is what actually finally made me break down and buy an iPod like 6 years ago or however long it was, because I'm a frugal man and I'm such a big music fan. I'm surprised that it took me as long to get an iPod as I did, because it sort of changed my life in a lot of ways. But one of the things where I was able to justify to myself and actually going and spending the $300 on one was when I was reading about podcasts, and this is like proto podcasts at this point. I think this is like when Apple just first started actually making that a section in iTunes.
2005, June.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I bought my iPod in the fall of 2005. So, I remember, thinking like, oh, this is cool. Cause I was a fan of like some talk radio, because like, I've heard music all day and not good music most of the time, you know? So my ear doesn't want to hear that. My ear would rather hear people talking. And so I think I would listen to sports radio, cause that's what was there. And there was in the area here, there was a show called Opie and Anthony, which was like a crass kind of.
No, they got syndicated.
Yeah. So I listened to them and they got canceled at one point, you know, and they, so they weren't around for a while. And then it was like, and actually if you have like a talk show that would get real popular, they would have a million commercials and just take these agonizingly long commercial breaks where it would be like literally like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, my drive's only 20 minutes. And it's like, you catch it when it starts a commercial, you're like, well, yeah, this sucks. So when the concept of podcasts where it's like, oh, it's like radio shows, but based exactly on the subject that you want to hear about, that was very compelling to me. And they didn't have a lot at the time, and old media sort of took a while to jump on it, because even the talk radio station that was local to me, they were putting up podcasts, but it was silly. They put up like 12-minute like best of sort of things. So it wasn't great. You know, it wasn't until a couple of years later when people sort of embraced it that it got to where it is now. But
newspapers, television stations, radio stations, they don't know quite what to do with a podcast, because they're used to what they're used to. And this is a completely different medium. I think it's very difficult for them to get into it. It's easier for someone like us who hasn't been in radio or hasn't been on television to just go, oh, wow, GarageBand has a podcast button? What does that do?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is, because I think we were probably all early to the game in, well, Mer certainly in making podcasts, but in like kind of being an early adopter of listening to them. What was some of the first ones that you listened to? If you remember?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking both of you.
I was being polite. I was going to let Mer go first.
Oh, okay. I remember I was painting my office at the time. And so I was really wanting stuff to listen to that I couldn't pay attention to anything else. And I remember I was listening to everything Mike and Evo kept put out for the Dragon Page. There was Dragon Page Live Fire, which was their local Phoenix live sci-fi show. And then they did God, what was it called? I guess it was just the Dragon Page, which is their book discussion podcast. I listened to Adam Curry because I think everybody who started podcasting in that time had to. It was like the law. And gosh, at that time, it's hard to say, really. I remember Mike and Evo. Yeah, so much of it has changed. Mm. Mike and Evo are the ones that have, at least the Dragon Page has stuck around enough to that's kept me interested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened to a lot of like the technology ones because I was sort of wanting to learn about the technology, you know. So like, right. I think the first ones, it might have been like MacBreak Weekly or something, because I was trying to learn how to use the various programs on my computer that I had just gotten, because I got an iPod and I got a Mac. Find like specific podcasts on Logic, which is the software that I used to record, and there wasn't much. I don't even know if there's anything out there now. I'm sure there is. I'm sure if I looked for it, I could find it. But you know, so I remember some of the technology ones were the first that I listened to, and then you know, so now I just sort of keep my ear open, and I find out about them through Twitter. But I listen to a bunch of different ones. I listen to a lot of comedy ones, you know, because I don't know. A lot of times at the end of the day, I don't want to learn anything. I just want to have something that's funny, you know? So I think there are actually, that's been in the past year or so where I think a lot of comedians have sort of taken to podcasting, and that, hey, you know what? I could just sort of sit and bullshit and be funny, and people will listen to it. And then it's kind of like what we were talking about in terms of at Balticon about like conventions and sort of building your audience. And it's like, podcasting helps to build your audience, even though these comedians, the point I'm making now, I don't think they're really making a lot of money from their podcast. But if they come into my town, I would probably go see that comedian live at this point,
right?
Because I like their podcast. So I think it's another way to build your audience. Patrick, how about you? What were some of the first ones you listened to?
Well, there was a couple, and you know, I came late to listening to podcasts. Mm-hmm. I always had people like Quinn telling me, dude, you need to listen to this. Dude, you need to listen to that, you know, blah, blah. And I would just ignore them because I wanted to listen. I wanted to listen to music, you know, when I'm writing, especially.
There are music podcasts.
I know this now. So when I finally did, you know, a couple years ago, I finally made the complete switch over from Windows to Mac. And I started really getting invested in some of this stuff. And I started looking at all the different podcasts out there. And it sounds like I'm kissing her ass, but I'm not. One of the first ones I listened to was I Should Be Writing.
Oh, sweet.
And MacBreak Weekly. Slice of Sci-Fi is another one that I've started to really, really like, because it just sounds like they're having a great time. And I did have one question for Mer.
Yes.
Is Farpoint Media the Borg? Have they assimilated all the podcasts?
I saw that tweet today. I don't know. It's I've been with Farpoint Media for several years, and I've known Mike Menengay since, I guess, 2005.
They sound like they're having so much fun. They really do.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they know podcasts better than most people. And I really think that if you want someone to advise you with podcasting, especially anything involving science fiction, then Farpoint Media is the place to go. They do have some non-sci-fi stuff, but yes. Really, it's the I think it's an excellent place to go get science fiction stuff.
It cracks me up that they still have a Babylon 5 podcast going.
The Babylon Project was our last best hope for peace. It failed. But in the year of the Shadow War, it became something greater. Our last best hope for victory.
Hey man, B5 fans. We're not that crazy. Okay, we are some, but
yeah, saw a lot of Babylon 5 t-shirts at a Balticon. More than I thought I would.
Really, I yeah. Missed those.
I saw at least 3 or 4. That's people walking around in their Babylon 5.
Every once in a while, John, you just got to break out the DVDs and watch it straight through.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I know.
If you go to Zahadum, you will die.
Okay, it's good in plotting, not necessarily in dialogue, but the plotting is excellent.
This is Ambassador Delenn of the Minbari. Babylon 5 is under our protection. Withdraw. Be destroyed.
Negative. We have authority here. Do not force us to engage your ship.
Why not? Only one human captain has ever survived battle with the Minbari fleet. He is behind me. You are in front of me. If you value your lives, be somewhere else.
Yeah, well, Straczynski wrote that, right? That's all the Straczynski show.
And squint your eyes at the special effects a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was like, what were the years that show ran?
That was like the first fully CGI experience. I mean, they did everything computer, and it was, that was when Deep Space Nine was still doing models.
Right.
Okay. I see. But anyway, so, I mean, Murr, what led you into podcasting anyway? Like, did you see someone that you saw as a, like, this is what I'd like to do with my work? Or how did that sort of light bulb go off for you?
I was talking to a college buddy of my husband's, and I'm like, so what have you been up to? And he's like, well, I've kind of been obsessed with podcasts lately. And I said, okay, I have no idea what that is. And this was like October of 2004. And so he essentially told me about it, and that's when I started listening. And I just had that feeling of, this is something I want to do. And it was probably, honestly, it was probably just ego. Like, I want to do this cool thing. Mm-hmm. And it's the beginning. Not many people are doing it.
Well, I mean, the podcasting is kind of alternate publishing in itself.
Sure. Yes.
I find it interesting, especially that you talk about authors who have things out of print, seeing podcasting as an alternative for them.
Yeah, it's a really awesome thing, because I think what Tracy Hickman and Mercedes Lackey and Michael A. Stackpole did was sort of legitimize podcasting. It's like, not only are these just wannabes with microphones doing this, but actual professionals are finding use in giving away your content online. I mean, Tracy Hickman used it to bring out bring back one of his favorite books that was out of print, and the response was so good that he got it back into print.
That's awesome. That is very cool. One of the authors that I kind of latched onto early on was Dennis L. McKiernan, and not many people know much about him, and I've blathered about him quite a bit. He had the balls to try to write a sequel to The Lord of the Rings and sell it to the Tolkien family.
Oh wow.
And they said no, and so he turned it into Mythgar, which is the world that his books are set in. And when I found one of his books at an airport in Atlanta and I read it over the course of my business trip, I sent him an email. I found his website. Like most authors, a really crappy website, which I just don't get. I don't get these GeoCity-looking websites that these guys put up, and gals, too. And but I found it. I sent him an email, and I said, you know, I've been to the bookstore. I can't find anything else of yours. What's going on? And his response was, well, everything's out of print, and I'm trying really hard to get it back into print, which he did. But now I think most of it's out of print again, which is sad.
Yeah.
So you know,
should do the podcast thing.
He should. Now, there was a couple of things that you guys talked about on the live show of I Should Be Writing that stuck out in my mind. One of them, because I'm always looking at, you know, the options available to the aspiring author. What can we do? You know, I've got a story called Evermist that I publish myself on a blog because I don't think anyone would ever buy it. So I publish it myself to kind of gain some exposure.
Right.
And it seems like that is a good route to go for people if they're, you know, if you have something that you don't necessarily think someone's going to buy, but you're still trying to gain exposure, you're still trying to get people to read your stuff, publish it yourself. But if you have something that you do think someone might buy, for God's sakes, don't publish it.
Right.
Shop it around until, you know, you're blue in the face, and then maybe go publish it yourself.
Right. It's a difficult tightrope to walk because, you know, there's a lot of crap out there. There's a lot of crap out there because people aren't willing to go through the gauntlet of
rejection.
Rejection. It's like, oh, well, I don't want to be rejected, so I'll just put my stuff out there because, believe me, people who take the time to listen to your stuff and don't like it, they're so much nicer than professional editors. That's sarcasm. Yeah, they're so much nicer. It's awesome. So, you know, you have to really, really believe in your stuff. Not just hope, believe in your stuff. Really believe that this is something that, you know, publishing made a mistake by not publishing. And
well, I think with publishing, Murr, I think it's like any other creative field, there's just so much, like there's so many people that are, you know, aspiring authors that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of great authors that are not going to get a deal because it's a sheer numbers game. And a lot of good ones are not. And the problem is that there's a lot of aspiring authors who aren't great or I think Lou spoke about this once where he said, yeah, it's not that stuff is bad. It's just, it's not great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it needs to be great in terms of quality. But, you know, a lot of this stuff is subjective as well. So, I mean, that's another layer of it, too. And I think it's difficult for someone who is aspiring that is this just something that doesn't fit or is it not good? Is not good enough? I mean, so I think, you know, podcasting is a good alternative. And I think, Patrick, I like your tactic with this with Evermist, where you decided, all right, this is probably not going to sell because of whatever the format or the style. So I'm gonna put this out there to try to get some exposure. But I do have stuff that I do think I can sell, and I'm not going to put that out.
Exactly.
It brings up a good point at the I Should Be Writing live show from Balticon, which we'll put a little plug for that. If when you're done listening to this, if you haven't already listened to that, go and get that. And we'll talk more about that. But Matt Wallace, who was also on the show, someone had asked that question, like, should I put my stuff out there? And he said, you know, no one cares. And he said that a lot that night. But he's right.
But that's his job. That's his job to give you the worst thing you could hear.
Yeah.
Really, which is no one cares. It is, but you know, sometimes it's good that no one cares because it's freeing. You can do whatever the hell you want because no one cares.
Of course. And that's the point is that, you know, I think as a creative person or as creative people, I think some people get this sort of sense of entitlement or just, I don't even know if it's entitlement, but this just sort of feeling that they are more important than they actually are. And there's a lot of people that do this stuff. So there's so much out there. No one is just going to show up at your website and be like, you're brilliant. Like, I'm going to sign you to a 5-book deal. That's not going to happen. Like, I think Gail Carriger said this too. you know, you can't, it's not sacred. It's not, you know, you have to just keep making stuff, and some of it you can give away for free, and some of it you may want to shop for you know, to get a publisher to buy.
And it's kind of funny because I actually did write a blog post about my own stuff that's coming out this week where I talk about this. Because and actually the live I should be writing show is what spurred me to write that post my own stuff. Because it was like, the reason I put Evermist out there is because I don't think anybody will buy it. So that's why I put it out there, because
you
it's
mean
still
like at
good.
A mar- you mean the market won't buy it, but you think it's worthwhile that people will read it?
I think that it is. It was intentionally written to mirror somebody else's style because I wanted to see what that would be like. And so it's not. It's a good piece. It's not my best piece, but. It's a good story. It's an engaging story. It has great characters. But I don't think, I look at the marketplace out there and I don't see someone buying that. I have other things that I think people will buy. So those are the pieces that I hold and then I query out.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're, if you feel good enough about it, then you should put it out there. Because, I mean, I'm in a little bit of a different situation than a writer is in doing music, because sort of, the medium is sort of experienced differently. So
And you're not trying to get EMI's attention to give you a recording contract.
No. Well, I mean, that's the thing too. I think nowadays for any musician, I don't know many musicians who even want to get signed anymore. I don't think it's, for a lot of people, it's not in their best interest. So I think the world has changed in terms of getting a record deal. Whereas, you know, 5 years ago, that was still what everybody wanted. And, you know, honestly, I feel, again, it's a little different being a musician, because it's being a musician, I think, is a little more of a young person's game where, you know, once you're over 25, like, forget it. You know, like, no one's going to sign you after 25.
Well, and you don't even need to be able to play an instrument or sing, as long as you can dance and lip sync.
Well, I mean, I'm not even talking about that end of it. I remember when I was really getting into the singer-songwriter, I was really starting to do this, and he's like 2 years younger than me or something, or 3 years younger.
All right.
Than
you
me.
Know what? You know what? We're done. I am so sick and tired of Skype. Skype has been the bitch tonight, and I just want to flip Skype the bird.
Okay. Well, then let's just do our pimps and get out of here then. And we'll have a show. I'm sorry, Mur. I really wish this would have been better.
It's Skype, guys. It's not you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, we would really like to have you back on, and hopefully have a night where it doesn't go like this, because I feel like we have so much that we can talk about with you. So I would really like to have you back on. So I hope you'll come back on, and
let me know when. That would be awesome.
Okay, cool. Well,
you know, John, Murr and I were conspiring to try to get Blake Charlton to come on, because he's online right now at the same time.
I saw that.
He's like all important and doctory.
Yeah, he's being an MD tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not a writer.
Yeah. Well, can I?
Hello.
Oh, I know. I'm fine. I got like a little something from Seattle Geekly, because I was on their podcast. They just sent me a chat thing. So anyway,
Skype is running rampant tonight.
It is. It's really bad. But
Skype has been a bitch. Let's just call this thing over with. Murr, pimp your stuff.
You know, I do so much crap. You can find it all at Murrverse.com. I would recommend going to escapepod.org for very excellent free audio fiction. And if you're a writer and you want advice or just want commiseration from another writer, you can go to ishouldbewriting.com.
Yes.
You can find my stuff at scifisongs.blogspot.com. Lots of free stuff there. You can find my album on iTunes or Amazon MP3 or CD Baby. Just put Sci-Fi Songs or John Anelio in the search engine, JohnAnelio. I'm also on Murr's I Should Be Writing Live podcast that was put out this week, and I perform a couple of songs live on that, including the I Should Be Writing song that I wrote specifically for that podcast. So go and check that out, because that was a really fun, and it was really fun to hear people sing along with the George R.R. Martin Is Not Your Bitch song. That was really fun, and I really, really good time on that. And also, I'm working on a new song that I'm in But the one thing I did want to point out this week was that my song Steve Jobs Hates Flash was played on the end of This Week or Today in Tech, one of the This Week in Tech Leo Laporte shows with Tom Merritt. So that was very exciting. Tom played the George R. R. Martin song on the Sword and Laser podcast last year. And he I had emailed him about the Steve Jobs song months ago when it first came out. And then so they played it. And it was like a real thrill to see the video of like people, you know, like a TV show playing my song. So that was great. So check that out.
There was somebody else on there that we know. Was it Blake? Blake Charlton?
No, he was not on that show.
I thought he was. I swear to God, I thought he was. I saw show. I saw something. I swear to God, on the link that for that show that you sent out, it had Blake Charlton on it.
Oh, you know what? Because I sent the wrong link the first time. I didn't send it. It went to like an IO9 thing or something by mistake. But the actual show is on Today in Tech, it's called. And so that was pretty cool. So anyway, check that out too.
Okay.
And Patrick.
ATFMB.com is the blog. Twitter.com/ATFMB is where you can go and follow me. I tweet a lot. ATFMB.com/EVERMIST, Evermist. That is the serialized fiction that comes out brand new every Friday. And of course, we have functionalnerds.com. We have cats who are trying to play with all the cords on my desk right now. Let's see. Anything else that we can think of? Oh, John, you know what? We need to tell people about the upcoming guests that we have coming on the show. We've got some good people coming. Not to say that Murr isn't fantastic, which you are. And we appreciate.
Oh, sure, sure. No, I don't feel slighted at all. Keep going. No, it's okay.
We appreciate you coming on the Skype from Hell show.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be like a 20-minute episode.
Once I edit it all down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But
we've been talking for an hour and a half, but it's going to be 20 minutes. So awesome.
Yes. But we do have some other people coming on. Why don't you tell folks about that?
All right. Well, next week we have John Ottinger of Grasping for the Wind. He's going to come on and talk to us about some stuff. And I believe the 2 weeks after that, we have John Picascio, artist that does a lot of the covers for Pyre, is going to be on. And then the week after that, we are going to have Matt and Shannon from the Seattle Geekly podcast. So they talk a lot of nerd stuff like we do. And I was on their show a couple weeks ago. And so those are upcoming. I know we have some people in July. I don't know who we have, if we have any definitives on that and we want to mention that, but maybe we can, that's up to you if you want to mention those potential people for Joel.
They've said they're going to be on. We don't have the dates firmed yet, but Mike Resnick and Ellie Modisette Jr.
Wow. Yeah. It's hard to believe.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Well,
so we'll keep going. I think we're going to call the Skype show from Hell done.
Okie doke. Sounds good. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, Murr. We do really appreciate it. You've been great.
Yeah.
And we appreciate your patience.
It was fun. Thank you. Oh, sure. Yeah. It's Skype.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back very soon, maybe in July or August or something, and just so we can hopefully have a Skype, you know, a call without all the Skype problems. So.
Yep. Well, that's it for episode 13. Join us next week for episode 14 with guest John Ottinger. Hopefully we're not going to have too many weird Skype issues tonight. Did I lose everybody? And I completely lost you guys again.
I think we should probably try again. Okay, now we'll hope it works.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, when I met Ellie Modisette Jr., I went to a local signing that he was doing here in Denver, and a decent crowd of people there. And he's like, I don't read from my books because I'm not good at it. So I prefer to tell stories and answer questions. So he tells a story and he's like, does anybody have any questions? And I look around the room and it's like deers in headlights. And so I raise my hand, and he's like, sure. And, you know, I ask him a couple of questions, and he answers them, and he tells another story. And anyone else have any questions? And look around the room. Nothing.
Oh, God.
And so I ask another question. I must have asked him like 10 questions because no one else would say anything. And finally, they kind of got the clue that they could actually ask a question and he would talk to them.
Wow.
But it took forever.
You're like every author's dream. Will you show up at my next reading, please?
Well, I have no fear. I'm like Daredevil. I don't care. I'll stand up and ask you questions. Oh, and if there's something that you want me to edit out, just tell me to edit out and I will.
Oh, that's so nice. I say that too.
And this is the point in the show when Skype takes a dump and I lose everybody, and now there's just me. Isn't it fun? Epic fail. Come on! Skype! That I'm the Prince of Arulon. Oh, Serene, you're damn it! Damn it! I hate Skype! Yeah. Come on! Shoot me in the head. Shoot me in the head. Skype is a piece of crap tonight. Oh, brother. And I see Blake Charlton's on. I almost want to add him to the conference just to freak him out. I don't know what's going on with John. He said he said that he called me for a second and he said it's not and then it went down. I just wish that there was some sort of free voiceover IP program out there that we could use to do this kind of stuff.
Like Skype?
Oh yeah, Skype would be great if it worked.
Yeah, mer podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think.
A little bit.
But yeah, I don't understand why parents have such a hard time putting their kids to bed. I just give them Mountain Dew and send them home, you know, with their parents. It's easy.
Yeah, Patrick, you like totally just like kinked out on me for a second. Like I didn't hear you at all there for like 3 seconds. But
did I lose everybody?
Okay.
Are we ready?